Well, we turn in God's Word to the book of Exodus and to chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. And last Sabbath morning, we did look at the first seven verses of this chapter. And for the sermon today, we're focusing in on a couple of those verses that we read, because there's more to get out of this passage than what we looked at last Sabbath. And we're looking at verses 5 and 6 today, where we have mention of the rock and how water was provided for the people from this rock that was in Horeb. Exodus 17, verses 5 and 6. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. The true and the living God has many glorious attributes which are so much a part of him that they are sometimes used as his name or used in his name. We see this time and time again in the Old Testament. So, for example, in some places in the Old Testament, God is called Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord who heals. When the children of Israel reached Marah after crossing the Red Sea, and there God made the bitter waters sweet, he told them in Genesis 15 and verse 25, "I am Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord who heals." Elsewhere, God is called Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. And there are a good many more descriptions assigned to God because of some attribute or other he possesses. Even though the description isn't used of God in this passage, the best description of God on this occasion at Rephidim and Horeb in Exodus chapter 17 is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. There was a great need. The people were thirsty. They needed water, and God provided them with water. But there's more to this provision than meets the eye on a casual reading of this passage, and in particular the fifth and sixth verse of this passage. There are lessons for us from this passage about what and how God provides for his people in all ages when there is need. On the surface, it's easy to see that God provided here for a temporal need. What is less obvious is that God was also providing for another deeper need, the spiritual need of the people. Considering the large number of people who needed water, we see that God supplied both sufficiently and abundantly. And it's these aspects of provision that make for application for God's people in every generation, and that we want to consider in this passage. There is the temporal need, there is the spiritual need that is provided for, and then there's how God provided sufficiently and abundantly. Let's think first of all of how God provides for our temporal needs. God provides for our temporal needs. This is something he does. the people were not only complaining against Moses because there was no water at Rephidim here. They weren't only complaining. They had accused Moses of bringing them and their children and their livestock out of Egypt to kill them in the wilderness. And such was their rage at Moses that they were almost ready to stone him. They had risen up in rebellion against Moses. And it was also rebellion against God. The people are in need of having their thirst quenched, but Moses has an even greater need. He has the need of having his life saved. But unlike the people, Moses prayed to God in this crisis. He prayed to God. And he cries out to God, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And it is at that point that God took decisive action. He answers Moses in verse 5, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go." When Moses is told to go on before the people, the verb has the idea of going ahead of them into the wilderness. What is going to happen will be some distance away from the camp, the place where Moses and some of the elders were told to go was Horeb, the same place where God had earlier revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. Horeb is also another name for Mount Sinai, where the Israelites will soon receive the Ten Commandments from God. The fact that Moses was to take the same rod with him with which he had struck the River Nile indicates that a demonstration of divine power will soon follow. The same rod which was used earlier to deprive the Egyptians of water will now be used to provide water for God's people. And then verse 6, "Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb." In what sense God stood on that rock, we are not told. Was it the pillar of cloud that descended on the rock, or did God stand on the rock in some other way? Whatever way it was, God was present there on that rock in a special way in order to provide for the people. Moses was commanded to strike the rock. The rock would bring forth water, and the people would be able to drink. And Moses struck the rock, and so it happened. Everyone's thirst was quenched. God is a great provider, and he still provides for his people's temporal needs. The Lord Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, reassures his disciples that God is their great provider. He says to his disciples in Matthew 6 and verses 25 and 26, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Christ reassures us that God will make temporal provision for us. And is it not true? Has he not provided for every one of us from the day we were born to this very day? Some of you, I know, have lived through hard times when you were a lot younger and you didn't have very much. But there was enough, and God still provides for us all. For those of God's people in parts of the world today where there is very little for them to eat or drink, God often provides through his people in other parts of the world, donating gifts to them so that they will have enough. God is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He provides for our temporal needs while we are in this world, and we ought to thank him every single day for that. We should not simply take it for granted that we always have food and clothing and shelter. It is God's gracious provision to us. But we also learn from these couple of verses something deeper, and that is that secondly, God provides for our spiritual needs. And here we focus on the spiritual significance of the rock from which the water came forth. In verse 6, God says to Moses, "Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Is it not reading into the text to suggest that this rock at Horeb had some kind of spiritual significance? Well, it might be if we had nothing more said about this rock than we read here. But there is more said about this rock elsewhere. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul speaks to the Corinthians about the example of God's Old Testament people in the wilderness. And in verses 3 and 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says this: "All ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Now, Paul was obviously giving a spiritual interpretation to the manna that God provided when he says, "All ate the same spiritual food." And then also, Paul is giving a spiritual interpretation to the drink that was drunk in the wilderness. He says, or in the same way, he's pointing to that rock at Horeb, and he calls it that spiritual rock. And then he says specifically, "And that rock was Christ." So we are in no sense reading into the text here in Exodus 17 and verse 6 when we say that the rock in Horeb represents Christ. The Apostle Paul, quoting from Isaiah, says concerning Christ in Romans chapter 9 and verse 33, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." In certain parts of the Old Testament, God is referred to as a rock, and we can say from that it's referring also to Christ. And very specifically in the New Testament, Christ is referred to as a rock. And very specifically, this rock at Horeb is about Christ. It is a reference to Christ. also water in both the Old and New Testaments is used as a symbol for salvation and eternal life. In John chapter 19, after Jesus had died on the cross, it says in verse 34 that one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Blood proving that he was truly man, and water showing that by his death Jesus gives life. We need water to survive in this life. Water is symbolic of life, and in Scripture is symbolic of eternal life. So what we have here in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 6 with both the rock and the water from the rock is a picture of the gospel, an emblem of a spiritual reality that Christ was the rock who followed the Israelites and from whom they drank. Not surprisingly then, there are many parallels between this rock at Horeb giving water and Christ and the living water he provides in his saving work. For example, just as the Israelites would have perished without water in the wilderness, so sinners perish eternally without receiving living water, spiritual life, eternal life. Then also, just as God provided water from the Israelites through the rock, God provides salvation through Christ the rock. It is through that person. Just as the rock at Horeb appeared to be a very unlikely place and an unlikely object from which water would come, so too the cross of Christ appears to men to be a very unlikely way for God to provide eternal salvation for them. As the rock at Horeb was solid and steadfast, yet still gave forth water, so too Christ is mighty and steadfast and keeps on giving saving grace. As Moses had to strike the rock for water to come forth from it, so too Christ was smitten by God on the cross in order to provide the living water of salvation. As the rock at Horeb was struck just once by Moses for water to come forth, so also Christ the rock was struck down only once to provide sinners with salvation. As the Israelites had to personally and individually drink of that water from the rock, so sinners must by faith personally and individually receive Christ to be saved and to know eternal life. As the Lord Jesus Christ was the rock that followed the Israelites in the wilderness, so Christ, after he saves people, continues to walk with them in this wilderness of a world and throughout their lives keeps on giving them grace and supplying their spiritual needs. All of these things, and there are probably more, are parallels between the rock at Horeb, which was the source of water for the Israelites, and Christ, the rock of his people today. And with this, there are also various challenges. For anyone who has not drunk of that rock, which is Christ, you are spiritually dead. and you are in trespasses and sins, because you will not have received the water of life that leads to everlasting life. You need the living water of salvation that is able to cleanse you and forgive you your sins, and Christ is the source of that water. You must come to Him to find spiritual life leading to eternal life. For without that life, you're under God's condemnation and you are doomed to a lost eternity. Christ is the source of the living water we need. He is the source of saving grace, of spiritual life, of everlasting life. For you who have come to Christ and have tasted this living water that He provides, you must keep coming to Him that your thirsty soul may be quenched, that the spiritual life that is in you may remain in you and will continue to be a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life within you. And you encounter Christ through His Word, and you receive the water He gives by listening to His voice through the reading and the preaching of His Word. So in these verses, we see God as indeed the great provider of His people. He provides for our temporal needs, and secondly, He provides for our spiritual needs. And then thirdly, we learn from these verses that God provides abundantly for all our needs. God provides abundantly for all our needs. If we think on our temporal needs, surely we know this, that God provides abundantly for our temporal needs. We have far more than we need. Every few months, I find myself going to the recycling place, because things fill up so much in the garage or in the home, and I've no use for this, I have to throw it out. And I'm sure you're the same. There are times in the year you do a bit of spring cleaning and you have to throw a lot of stuff out you've kept for years, you've no need for it anymore. We have far more than we need. We have access to more food than we can eat. We have more clothes than we can wear. For many, more than sufficient money to spend. And probably for most of us, it has been that way for all of our lives. Not all people in all parts of the world have an abundance of temporal, earthly provision. But we do in this part of the world. And we ought not to take it for granted. We ought not to just assume that it's there and that it will always be there. There are people in the Ukraine at this time who a year ago did have an abundance, and now their abundance is taken away from them. Many of them are scraping through each day with just sufficient to get by. Some may even be struggling to get by. We hope not, we pray that our abundance will not be taken away from us. And that's why every time you eat a meal, it is fitting to give thanks to God for it, because without God, you simply would not have it. Thanksgiving for all your temporal provision should form an important part of your prayer life. Thank God for your job. Thank Him for your family, for your children, for your home, for your material well-being. These are all part of God's abundant provision to you. God provides abundantly for all our temporal needs, and very especially, he provides abundantly for all our spiritual needs. The water that flowed from the rock at Horeb was more than sufficient for the Israelites. It didn't just quench their thirst once and then it was gone. It was a supernatural provision of water that continued to supply their needs as long as they remained in that vicinity, including their lengthy stay at Sinai. The abundance of this provision is explicitly stated in Psalm 78 and verses 15 and 16. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. That gives us a picture of the extent of the abundance of this water that God provided from the rock at Horeb. The water that flowed out of the rock at Horeb was no mere trickle that people had to come to get a drink. The water gushed out of that rock, causing streams to flow from it. It was, after all, to quench the thirst of thousands of people. And it did. In the same way, Christ the rock provides abundantly for all who trust in him. He possesses a treasure store of spiritual graces and riches for whoever will take of them. He provides cleansing and forgiveness for all the sins of all those who come to him by faith. He never runs out of forgiveness. He's never having to say, well, actually, I'm not able to cleanse this person. There's not sufficient grace for it. He has more than sufficient grace to cleanse. He gives spiritual life and eternal life to every person who comes to him with a contrite heart and a broken spirit. The sinner who for years has hardened their heart against Christ, but one day sees their sin and seeks Christ, will not be turned away. He provides living water for such, even eternal life. There is no sin too wicked for the blood of Christ to be effectual in cleansing the sinner from that sin. And none of this can be said of any other kind of rock a sinner might turn to. It is only Christ who provides for your spiritual needs, and he can do so admirably and abundantly. If anyone hasn't yet embraced Christ, trusted in him, he is the one you need, for only he can provide for your deepest need. Only he can give life to your soul and keep your soul alive. He and he alone is the source of this eternal life. If you delay in yielding to him and you leave this world without the living water he gives, your soul will not have access to that living water ever again. Your soul will be lost forever. See then the great need of your poor soul and go to Christ the rock. Go to the cross of Christ and unburden your sins there, and he will pardon you, and he will give you this living water, even life leading to everlasting life, for he has an abundance of it to give. And for you who believe and who have received new life in Christ, you're reminded today of this rock at Horeb. that God is your great provider. He provides for your temporal needs. He provides for your spiritual needs. He provides abundantly for all your needs. And for the Israelites, this provision was all of God's grace. Remember, all they could do was complain when they had a need. And yet, in the midst of their complaining, God still provided for them. What amazing grace! That even though they were grumbling and complaining at every difficulty and not trusting, God in his mercy and grace provided sufficiently for them and even abundantly for them, giving them here an abundance of water from the rock. We are all unworthy of God's abundant grace to us in Christ. There is nothing inherently good in us that he should save us and then, after saving us, keep on supplying us with his grace. Yet he has promised to do so. He has promised to provide for you temporally, spiritually, and abundantly. Call upon him in your need. Trust in him to supply your particular need. And when he does, don't be like these Israelites. Rather, give him all the glory. Thank him and worship him. And be all the more determined in your own heart to love him and to serve him. Amen.